and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or whether this is your first time, we're happy that you're here and you found a way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that the church is together through worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Your bulletin has a calendar and a list of announcements. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you or the elder who will be standing at the communion table following worship today. During the offering, if everyone would please sign the hospitality register and pass it down the aisle so that you can welcome people around you by name. We have a few announcements.
Good morning. Jan Buettner, on behalf of the property development team, I need to tell you that due to some very unfortunate circumstances, we will not be doing the East House presentation this morning in second hour. We were informed this week by Pat Stone that East House has decided not to partner with us. They're very heavily invested in too many other projects at the moment. Our partnership with Pat Stone's on very solid ground. We're moving forward with them, and they are currently looking into several other opportunities of agencies to partner with us. And when we get more information on that, we'll be very happy to share it with you. If you have any questions later, you can talk to me or Ed Coons or Bill DeCero. I don't know if he's here today. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. Carrie Dykes. I'm here to talk about a learning opportunity. So next month, we're going to learn about Buddhism, the first two Sundays in October. So on October 13th, which is the second Sunday, we will be traveling to the White Lotus Buddhist Center, and we will be worshiping with them, the rest of us are worshiping here. So it will be a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock worship with them. It's a very small worship area, so we're limited to taking 10 people. So if you would like to go to the Buddhist Center on October 13th during worship, there's a sign-up sheet on the kiosk. Please add your name. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kathy Coons, Clerk of Session. Just wanted to remind you that the special congregational meeting is today, immediately following worship. If you want to take like a five-minute break, grab some coffee or whatever and come back, we'd appreciate it so we can get the meeting started. The purpose and the only purpose of the meeting is to elect designated pastor and nominating committee. This is the group that will be searching for our new pastor. We're fortunate to have Reverend Harry Hines with us today. He will be moderating the meeting. So if you have any questions, let me know. But otherwise, hope to see you back here about 11:15. Thanks.
And it's my pleasure now to welcome our guest pastor today, Sister Barbara Moore, Sister of Mercy. Her bio is in the insert in your bulletin if you'd like to read that. We're so pleased to have you back again. Thank you. Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you.
bear with me this morning as I run back and forth. Please stand for the call to worship, if able. O God, we come into your courts with praise and thanksgiving.
We come in celebration and song.
We come in gratitude of your inheritance.
We come as those who have received a blessing.
We hear the cry of the poor in the land and ache to offer them relief.
We come to bring them blessing upon blessing in Jesus' name.
O God, we come into your courts with praise and thanksgiving.
We come in celebration.
Join me in the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. We need to confess, God of Abraham and Lazarus, how often we are not content with the simple gifts and lives you offer. Tempted by everything, we can become insensitive to those who have nothing. Encouraged by the world to accumulate more, we may miss the chance to gather your goodness and godliness. Chasing after all which has no value, we may not have the energy to pursue the faith, the love, the gentleness you have for us. Forgive us, God of reversals. You have sent the one who speaks the words we listen to in order to have life. Help us to remember how you have redeemed us. And in remembering, may we make that good confession that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, now and forever. This is the good news that comes from God. I will hear your prayers. I will answer with hope and peace. I will deliver you from your sins. God has covered us with grace. Under God's hope, we will find shelter. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Morning. What an awesome group we have up here today. It's so good to see all of you. So I want to start by telling you a little story and asking you a few questions. Freya, have a seat. One day, Susie's mother sent her to the store to buy a loaf of bread. She gave Susie $5 and told her she could keep the change. But when Susie paid for the bread, the cashier actually gave her back too much money. Susie knew right away it was too much, but what should she do? Should she tell the cashier she had made a mistake, or should she just keep quiet? What would you do? Raise your hand. What would you do?
I would tell him that keep. I'll take half of the money and you keep the money.
All right. That's great, a great thought there. But anyone else have any ideas? What would you do if someone gave you too much change? You would just eat the bread. You wouldn't even worry about the money. Okay. All right, let's do another example. James was going through the cafeteria line at school and looked down to see a dollar bill on the floor. There was no way of knowing who had lost the money, and no one would ever know if he just picked it up and put it in his pocket. What should he do, and what would you do? I saw a hand up here.
I would take the money.
You'd just take the money. Anyone else?
Since it's just a $1 bill, I would probably take the money. But if it was a larger bill, I would probably give it to turn it in.
Show it to him, and maybe he could give the bread to him without giving him any money.
You know what, Bennett? Your answer actually leads us to our next example. So we're going to talk about Hector. Hector found a money bag like this one. These are the big ones people take to the banks, right? The businesses. This one contained $120, and he found it on top of a Coke machine at his school. Wow, that's a lot of money. Just think of all the things you could do for $120. What should Hector do, and what would you do? Freya, what would you do with the money?
I'll just take it, I think.
Oh, over here, Nathan, what would you do with the money?
I would give it to all the people in the world. I would take $1 of money, give it to someone, and I would take all the rest and give $1 bill to everyone in the world.
Oh, so we've got the Robin Hood approach. I kind of like that. We would give it back. Okay, I see a lot. Oh, one more right here. What should Hector do with the money?
He should buy a garbage truck.
Oh, I should have known that answer was coming. All right, anyway. Okay, we're gonna move it along here. Every day we're faced with decisions which test our honesty. It may be a small amount of incorrect change, or a dollar found on the floor, or a large amount of money that Hector found at school. The amount of money is not important. It's a question of what is doing what is right. And one day Jesus told a parable about a rich man who accused his manager of wasting money. He called him in and told him to give an account of the way he had been managing his money. And sure enough, he had been taking some of the money for himself and cheating his employer. But since the manager knew he was going to be fired, he came up with a plan that would make a lot of friends. He called the people who owed his boss money and asked them how much they owed. When they told him how much they owed, he told them they only had to pay a smaller amount. And as you can imagine, the people were very pleased they only had to pay a fraction of what they owed. And the manager now had plenty of friends to help him when he no longer had a job. Jesus told the story to show that whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. And if you and I can make sure we're honest in the small things, then we can make sure that we will be honest in the big things too. If people know that they can trust us in the small things, they will know that they can trust us in the big things too. So let's do a prayer before we head off to Sunday school. Dear Father, help us to remember what Jesus taught about honesty, and help us to be honest in every situation, big or small. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go to your classes.
First reading this morning is from Amos. Hear this, you that trample on the needy, and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds.
Our gospel this morning is from Luke 16. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this manager was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you can no longer be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking this position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm too ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning the master's debtors, he said to one, 'The first, how much do you owe my master?' He answered, 80 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked the other, "How much do you owe?" And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. Then his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. For whoever is faithful in little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in very little is dishonest also in much. If you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? For no slave can serve two masters. They will either hate the one and love the other, or will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord. Recent court decisions about pharmaceutical companies regarding addictive opioid drug use and availability, these cases came to my mind as I read this parable. Marketing, targeting, and prescribing these drugs have caused havoc and loss of life. These are great matters, as the gospel states, and they have devastating effects on people, especially the young. I'm also reminded, because of current news, of the ongoing court cases accusing wealthy, prominent parents and schools of scams to get their children into prestigious universities. And think of vaping, what it's doing to our young, and how the courts will inevitably enter these debates. My brothers and sisters, these issues and crises are truly 21st century economic, public health, and social nightmares.
And my guess is you could add to the list that I shared. The dishonesty of the manager in the gospel seems to be all around us today, doesn't it? As lies fill the public sector and false information is irresponsibly shared. Some of us question some public policies, and we fear average men and women will suffer in many ways, as did the debtors in the parable, as well as the poor mentioned from the prophet Amos. And then we hear of the number of uninsured folks coming into greater focus, and it is so hard to imagine their fear and anxiety. So the question is, how do these 21st century issues connect with today's gospel? The gospel this morning is focusing on a story about a rich man's manager who found himself in trouble, sort of an ancient Bernie Madoff. On one level, he was abusing those over whom he had responsibility and over whom he exercised power. Now, he may have been skimming off the top of their debts for his own use, or he may be asking more from them than he should have demanded. And who knows what promises and threats he made to the poor and how he used the wealth he gained. Now, he would, my guess is, continue these practices, except that he was creating some kind of conflict among those he cheated. Then, as a result, one or more reported him to the rich man, like a contemporary whistleblower. And with that revelation, the rich man found out he was losing money at the hands of this clever, manipulative manager. And so the manager, is now backed into a corner because the rich man says, "I want a full account from you." "What shall I do?" he thought. "My master is taking my position away from me. I'm not strong enough to dig to support myself, and I'm too ashamed to beg." Now, our fellow is in the position of those he abused and cheated, a victim. How was he going to give any account that might ease the burdens? The problem was his, and the result of his greed and actions. But in order to protect himself, he decided to reduce the debts that the folks owed. Now, that had to be nice, because the poor had a little more money. But this further showed the dishonesty and craftiness of this manager. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, this parable, on many levels, was a first century economic nightmare. And when you think about it, and our current nightmares, our gospel as an ancient story is very modern. Jesus uses the familiar when he shares parables. My guess is those folks sitting in front of him listening to this story experienced much of what he was revealing, for they more often than not were poor, rural, hardworking folks. And it's interesting because the lectionary next week, it follows this with the story of the rich man and Lazarus. I wonder if Luke is really trying to address something that was going on in his community. Thus, these two parables. And so money and service and compassion and honesty and trust are all themes of this parable today. And Jesus shares two powerful statements. the one who was trustworthy in very little, small things, is trustworthy in great ones. But when you explore the text even further, you find that the story is revealing what we like to call a hierarchy. At the top is the rich man who needs the help of someone to manage his money and property. At the bottom are those who felt the impact of this fellow's dishonesty. And there is also a positive aspect because someone alerted the rich man to the manager's dishonesty, a truth teller, someone who at least had had it with the way the manager acted. My dear friends, today, truth telling and honesty are qualities in the systems that impact our lives. They are qualities that are needed in these systems. The cover-up, the slowness to respond or to use bad decisions have found their ways into the church. You know that about mine. Into government, into business, and into the lives of some very, very prominent people these days. And it's critical for you and me that we try to bring truth and light and action to these situations. And when children are impacted, whether they are our own or immigrant children, a bad situation is more horrific. For it is in the daily small matters that we are called to be trustworthy. And if that behavior becomes part of our lives, we will have the courage to name and address great matters as they arise. And we will grow into people whose values and heart are drawn to the values and heart of Jesus Christ. Now, you might be thinking, I understand, saying to yourself, and I agree with what she's saying. But what can I do? Because the issues are huge. How can I address them? And I have a few simple suggestions. Read. Get accurate facts. Ask questions. Discuss issues with others with deep respect. Contact your church and elected leaders expressing your concerns, and above all, pray for the strength to address those things that fly in the face of the gospel. Bring the ancient values of the gospel to our world today, because as our sermon title says, these ancient stories are quite modern. And finally, the most profound action you and I can take is so fundamental, so clear, not too easy. Love our neighbor as ourself. Amen. John, that hymn was beautiful. It just, you know, in the medieval days, they used to say, whoever sings prays twice. That is as powerful as a homily could be. Thank you. So, Carrie, thank you for your multiple movements here. Her Fitbit is going to go up today. Any prayers or concerns?
Tess McKeel, continue prayers for my friend who had the stroke. She's had some setbacks, and it's kind of a back and forth. She's still in the hospital and needs lots of prayers. And I have a second friend whose husband went in the hospital this week with complications from diabetes, so they could use your prayers also.
Christy Stewart, I'm asking prayers for the people of Houston and the surrounding areas because so many are flooded once again. And it's a heartache and a financial burden on so many families because they may not only have to deal with flooding in their homes, but loss of work. And the schools are struggling, too, because some of them are going to be flooded.
Linda Sidori, I ask for prayers for my nephew, who is he's in his 40s. He has prostate cancer, and he has surgery this week.
I have I'd like to thank God. I have a wonderful, wonderful blessing in my life. My daughter, Ann Wilson Blodgett, had a beautiful baby girl Wednesday, Savannah Marie, and they're both doing great.
Hi, Cheryl Battaglia. I just wanted to ask for prayers for my 3-year-old granddaughter that will be going through surgery Thursday. And I wanted to welcome a new member, Angelica. Angelica, where are you? So everybody, this is Angelica.
Pray today for your all church, full church gathering and meeting after worship. And when I heard the calls for people who were sick this summer, not only is my sister seriously ill, but her youngest daughter and husband were in the hospital at the same time. So it was sort of a hard summer. So they're back home, and I ask you for prayers. Now, this is a joy and concern from young people. Do you want to read that for
sure.
us, honey?
Joys and concerns from our young people. Woody has been fixed. I'm assuming that's Woody the doll who was broken, and not Woody an animal. that was the first thing that popped in my head. 10th birthday parties tomorrow at Ninja Warrior Place. And Brandon was home from the Marines. So prayers from our children.
Thanks. So let's just take a moment quietly to mention those concerns deep in our hearts that sometimes it's just too hard to express. So let's just remember those men and women, people we love, people who have hurt us, people we need to forgive. This morning, around the world, Christian men and women of every language, every culture, and every race are saying the prayer we will now say together. There is more that joins us than separates us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Now let us give back to God with the morning offering.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have given us. Please accept our offering this morning so that it may help those who are poor or need more than we do. Amen.
I'm very grateful and love coming and hope to see you next month. May I continue to show up? The alternative isn't so good, is it? You know, sometimes the beauty of a hymn fits so well and we miss it. So the last verse of our closing hymn as an opening to my benediction. So God, grant us for tomorrow ways to order human life that surround each person's sorrow with calm and conquer strife. Make us partners in our living, our compassion to increase, messengers of faith thus giving hope and confidence and peace. That is my wish for all of you and those you love, and may God, our gracious and loving Creator, Jesus, our brother, and the Holy Spirit, the source of real energy and love in our lives, be with those you love until we meet again. Amen.